Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, Blog Talk? Man. What's up, Blog Talk? You're listening to Money Talk. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm waiting for my man, All Heroes Don't Wear Capes, to hop on. Happy New Year, everybody. This is so sick. What's up, man? Nope. But we're live on the radio. What's going on, man? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can I hear? Not yet. You got to call in, man. What's up, guys? You're listening to Money Talk. My name is Ryan Stone, and it is an absolute pleasure to be here. We have a little bit of a following on some other platforms. You may have seen us on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, or Facebook. I am the Prosperity Professor. All Heroes Don't Wear Capes is on his way in right now. This is our first episode on Blog Talk, so we're really super excited to be here. If you're listening in, feel free to tap in. The guest call-in is 516-418-5805, and we'll take callers later on in the show around 7 if you end up having any questions. Tonight, I really just want to introduce ourselves, get to know you guys. We're also going to be live as regular on Instagram Live. There we go. And so we're on Instagram Live at The Prosperity Professor, and All Heroes Don't Wear Capes. And, man, I'm excited to be here. Perfect. Let me put this on, and we'll get Brandon in here, and we're going to get started in about 2 minutes here. What's good, man? It's time, man. Get in on this, man. This is pretty cool. Give us a call. So we're dual platform right now. We're on Instagram Live, and we're on Blog Talk Radio. Man.
Am I supposed to press the number?
Yeah, call in 516-418-5805.
I'm here.
Boom.
There it is. I can hear you.
Got it.
There it is.
All right, bro. All right, man. So what I'm going to do, because it looks like we're getting a little feedback, got to turn down all the...
Yeah, turn down your headphones on that.
Okay. That's good?
Perfect, perfect.
You ready to go?
Welcome, all everybody.
Right, man. So,
welcome, Brandon. This is Money Talk,
man.
Welcome. Episode
Money
1.
Talk Live Uncut, man. It's 2021. We're real excited. We got a bunch of exciting stuff happening just in our lives this year. First of all, being sponsored by NSF Fatherhood Radio, we are official. We have a sponsorship. We are not only giving away free financial services, we're giving away tons of knowledge, man, and it's really priceless, really, really priceless. And for those of you who don't know us, my name is Brandon Anthony Clark. I'm the founder of All Heroes Don't Wear Capes, co-founder of Money Talk Live, and I'm joined by the Prosperity Professor, Mr. Ryan Stone. And we are licensed financial professionals, but that ain't all we do. That's our day job. This is our night job. You see, we about to go live. We're going to turn up tonight. So
this is pretty sick, man. And I got to show you, maybe I could, I'll jump in. I know I'm in my little studio. This is not really where I do too many. Check out this platform, man.
Mm-hmm.
So we're live on here.
This is a real cool platform.
Yeah. So this is Blog Talk Radio, guys, and this is the future nowadays. Like we're gonna be seeing more and more streamers in any platform that we do, right?
Yeah, yeah. Wait, is there still feedback on my end? It looks like there's feedback on my end here.
Try and just lower your mic.
I got it all the way lowered now, hopefully. Is there still feedback on my end?
Not for me, man. It sounds pretty good.
Oh, maybe. Is yours turned all the way down? Your live? There's an echo. Is it still echoing? I think we might be good now.
Is that better?
It might be. It might be.
All right, cool, man.
Hopefully it's better. If not, man, we go. That's the best thing about being an entrepreneur, not really knowing what you're doing. You learn as you go. So sometimes people are afraid to fail because they want things to be perfect. But ain't nothing in life perfect. Oh, perfect. Yeah, it's working. It's working good now. It's working good. So
perfect.
This is our first time trying to
down on you. So it's on the radio too, but we'll listen to that episode afterwards and make sure everything's pretty cool. But man, what a cool opportunity. And 2021, this is what I was telling everybody when I was wishing the year. I was wishing a year of opportunity. I think 2021 is a time of opportunity for everybody. 2020 really shook a lot of people up to the core. There's a lot of tragedy and suffering, no doubt. But I think there was also a big awakening. And it was a slow transition for some, and some people were ready for that and really capitalized last year. But I think 2021, we are going to see even more dramatic shifts and transitions in sectors, in leverage, in who's controlling the money. And I feel like if people are going to be making money this year, I might as well be one of them.
Might as well. And not just making money one way, making money multiple ways. And that's why we call this Money Talk Live. And it's uncut. Uncut basically means we're going to give it to you the real, the raw, ain't no fluff, ain't no nothing. We might cuss a little bit every now and then, but it's only because we love you. Only because we love you. You feel me? And so with that being said, man, I know we, honestly, man, we faced some challenges trying to find out exactly how we wanted the first radio show to kind of really flow. And so what we kind of decided to do is really just introduce ourselves to our audience throughout the millions of listeners worldwide, because, you know, Blog Talk Radio is a global thing, you know, just as well as Instagram. We're gonna leave this up too. And so who is Brandon Anthony Clark? Who is Ryan Stone? Like, who are these guys that are talking to us, telling us what to do with our money? Why should we listen to them? They don't got a lot of followers. You feel me? I feel like if you got I don't really get it. I think they say the more followers you got, I guess the more credible it makes you. But I guess whatever. Well, so, man, so why don't you go ahead and kind of kick us off, Ryan, man? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from? What did you do before you became a licensed financial professional? Like, what's your specialty? What do you like to do for fun? All that kind of stuff. We're on a date right now.
So, man, it's weird. I have been an entrepreneur since a very young age, really young age. I mean, and if any of our followers, I mean, drop a like or a comment. How old were you when you started your first business? I mean, your first business. What was the first time you did something, you sell the service or a good over and over again for money because you figured out you could make some money from it? I remember doing lemonade stands. And that, as cliche as that it was, but I did lemonade stands as a kid. And you know, they say what you do as a kid tends to be somewhat related to what you do as an adult, right?
Right.
And
right.
That was spot on for me because my mother was a teacher. She actually just retired this year upon some suggestions that I made to her a few years ago. We got her ready to go. And she actually was able to retire early, 2 years early this year. So that was fantastic. But
awesome.
My mother was a teacher. And so growing up, how did I play? Well, I was dragged to the classroom, and I sat in the classroom for extra time. I was there in the morning before school started, and I was there till afterwards because I was a student at the school where my mother was a teacher. Right? And
yeah.
sure enough,
yeah.
for the past 12 years, I actually was a classroom teacher. After college,
mm-hmm.
I went into myself. But at the same
yeah.
time, I was also an entrepreneur at a young age. I mean, at 6, 7, and 8, I had a lemonade stand. At age 13, I actually picked up a camera. I borrowed it from my mom's school, and I would film bar mitzvahs and weddings and sell a DVD to the family the same day. It was real simple.
Mm-hmm.
I just did it on iMovie, and I'd go home afterwards and edit it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing that at a young age because I realized that if I could make more money, I could get more opportunities for myself if I got cash.
Uh-huh.
And so I was
right,
always thinking.
Right.
Funny enough, I ended up actually after high school, I went to University of San Francisco and I studied philosophy. And
mm-hmm.
I loved philosophy because it got me thinking really big about big
mm-hmm.
questions. Like, what is the meaning of life? And like, what does it mean to live a true purposeful life? And to be
yeah.
honest, I graduated college 10, 12 years ago, and I still am answering that question every day. But I love
yeah.
reading about what, you know, the so-called smartest men of the world and women
mm-hmm.
have said throughout the centuries. And you know what, Brandon,
right.
what I found was after 4 or 5 years of reading the pre-Socratics, the Romans, the Epicureans, Kant, Hegelian,
uh-huh.
and all these different philosophers, even the postmodernists, is the truth is
right.
that nobody knows what the fuck to do. Excuse and everybody is figuring
yeah.
it out for themselves.
Uh-huh.
And I realized
right.
early on that I can craft and create my own life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I left USF with those big lofty ideas and then instantly hit with the reality of living in the Bay Area with not a lot of money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have that giant will, that will to just be successful, be a big life, have an influence, but then also met with a lot of challenge, which is like just living in an expensive place, you had to figure
mm-hmm.
things out. And so
yeah.
grad school, I worked my ass off, like worked hours and hours. People said like, okay, you may have, people say 40, 60, 80 hours a week is a lot. This is my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
This is my schedule that I did for a year and a half, 7 days a week. From
8
a.m.
Let me hear it.
3 p.m., I would teach school. I was teaching at the
uh-huh.
time. From 3 to 4:30, maybe 5 p.m., I would go to grad school, take my classes.
Mm-hmm.
But by 5:30, I had to be back downtown, and I delivered pizzas for 5 or 6 hours till about midnight every night.
Wow.
And I could barely sleep because then I'd have to do some homework.
Yeah.
And at 3
a.m. Who'd you deliver pizzas? Who'd you deliver pizzas for? I'm just curious.
It's called Escape from New York. It was like a mom and pop shop.
Okay.
If you're in San Francisco,
like
you know Escape from New York.
Okay. All right.
I actually worked
right.
in the Castro for a while. So if you want stories about the Castro, man, like San Francisco has got a big
yeah.
pizza in my heart, you know, if I will.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
yeah. What's your favorite pizza?
Man, for me,
I know it's a little off topic.
No, for me, honestly, man, I can judge a place based on how good their cheese slice is, how good their pep slice is.
Mm-hmm.
And I really,
okay.
you know what, we could do a whole show about pizza. I worked at a
mm-hmm.
pizza shop for 4 or 5 years. But in that 1 year after
yeah.
that, after midnight, I would actually deliver newspapers from 3 a.m. to about 5 a.m. most days, 7 days a week. And then I'd maybe sleep, maybe eat some breakfast, but then I'd have to teach at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
yeah.
that was 7 days
yeah.
a week. And I realized very early on that, okay, you can work for money, but trading
uh-huh.
all of your time for money is not an efficient
uh-huh.
process.
It's not.
Because
oh,
even
God,
if you work every single hour of the day, which I basically was, you're still capped out based on that hourly rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of opened my eyes to business. And so as I was teaching, I was looking into different business options. And that's kind of what led me down to this process. But it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, at every step of the way of your life, you can kind of find little Easter eggs that lead you on to the greater things that you do. And it's that 2020
yeah.
vision and looking back and realizing, wow, that was very impactful. And so was that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so was that choice or that activity that I did, it was actually impactful. And so the lesson that I get from all of that is now I'm a yes man. Now if I hear of a good idea, even if I don't really know too much about it, I jump on it. Put a purpose behind every single dollar I make so that I max out the amount of time that I save while maximizing the amount of profit or returns that I'm making. Right?
Yeah.
It's been a fun ride, man. It's been a fun ride.
That's what's up.
These are the people like you.
Yeah, man. Who would have thought, man? We would have met each other and been friends and business partners and doing all these good things together, changing the world, doing real estate, you know, e-commerce,
everything,
man. And so that's an amazing story. That's an amazing story. I feel like I learned something new about you, like every time, even though we built a relationship over the last year and we know, I feel like a pretty good fair amount about each other, but our backgrounds, you know what I'm saying? Like our backgrounds are completely opposite.
Super different.
Completely different, but we ended up in the same place.
That's so crazy. Yeah, that's another piece to it.
You feel
it?
Me? Now, that's kind of crazy, man. I just want to say a point, man, to anybody listening to this. Remember, we on Blog Talk Radio Live. This is the very first live radio show for Money Talk Live. So make sure you check us out on Blog Talk and on Instagram and wherever else we may be. I think we're going to be doing a Clubhouse too, right? Clubhouse. I don't know if you guys heard of that app. So that way you guys can really like ask us questions. You feel me? But the point I was going to make was Ryan and I come from opposite sides of the country. We have different backgrounds, different upbringings, but our beliefs are the same. And we ended up in the same place 30 years later. Like we were born, I was born in 86. When were you born?
90.
You know, so look, 30 years later now. We're over here doing business together, right? And so just to give you guys a little bit about my background, I'm from the South. And when I say the South, the country, I'm talking about the deep South. I don't know if any of my my friends and family is on right now or are going to be listening to this, but I'm talking about I grew up in a town so small that everybody I went to kindergarten with, I graduated high school with. You know what I'm saying? Like, we knew each other. We grew up. You know what I'm saying? But one of the things about growing up in the South, man, you really, there's something different about the South. Like, just growing up in the South, like, family's important. Beliefs are important. But at the same time, I felt like opportunities were limited. So me growing up, I always wanted to be a professional football player. A lot of people don't really know this about me because why would I tell anybody? But I'm live right now, so I'm gonna talk about it. I actually grew up raised by my grandmother, right? So that was my upbringing, being raised by my grandmother. And you know, grandma does the best she can, but can't nothing really prepare you for the real world, you know, like just getting into the real world, especially maybe not having like a father figure around or anything like that. So what I did was growing up, I idolized football players. Because, you know, most football players are African-American. Most basketball players are African-American. Most rappers are African-American and entertainers are African-American. So as children, we admire certain things and people. You know, like, what did you want to be when you grew up, Ryan?
Man, I think originally I wanted to be, like, some kind of scientist. I like tinkering with stuff.
Okay, did you, like, watch Bill Nye, the Science Guy?
Hell yeah.
Or...
Okay. And as a teacher, I religiously showed Bill Nye episodes, like very specific ones were always built into my curriculum.
Got it, man. So you might not even remember this, but there might be a reason why you became a teacher and you wanted to be a scientist. It might be because of Bill Nye, the Science Guy. And maybe one day at a subconsciously, you was internalized and it was like, I want to be a scientist when I grow up, you know? And so for me, you know, because I looked like football players, basketball players, I was like, and I was good at football, I wanted to be a football player, you know, because we didn't have a lot of money growing up. Like, we weren't poor, but we were poor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I ain't never missed no meal.
What'd your grandma do for work?
Man, my grandma, bless her heart, she worked at a nursing home. So... As a kid, I spent a lot of my time at the nursing home.
Wow.
I'm talking about from like 4 years old until I got old enough to where I didn't have to go to the nursing home,
yeah,
like with her, like, you know what I'm saying? So spent a lot of time around old people. And for those of you, nursing homes are not the most comfortable places. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, think about this. I don't know if you've thought about this, but now, I mean, a small part of your job is trying to keep people out of nursing homes in the end.
Is trying to keep people out of nursing homes. Exactly.
That's remarkable. I mean, I think that's like obvious. If someone actually followed the footsteps of your coaching and the systems that you provide for people, you would never need to touch one of those rooms, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Setting yourself
absolutely,
up for the
man.
Future like that.
Setting yourself up for the future, man. So so where was I? So I wanted to be a professional football player. I was pretty good at it. I was good enough to where I was good enough to make it to the NFL, but I wasn't good enough to get any serious scholarship offers out of college. Like I said, small town, not a lot of access to opportunity. But one blessing was that my mom actually lived in California at the time. So right after high school, I graduated, moved to California. Because for those of you who have never been to California, there is not – the one thing California does not lack is opportunity. Let's just put it that way. It does not lack any opportunity. There's a lot of junior colleges out here, so I decided to go the junior college route, get some get my stats up, and then go to a Division I school. My second year of my junior college season, man, I was getting offers from, like, Cal. A lot of the Pac – it was Pac-10 then. It's Pac-12 now. But, like, Cal, Oregon State, I was like, I'm going to be good, you know, get my full ride scholarship. I'm going to go to the NFL, blah, blah, blah. And very first game, second year, you kind of know where I'm going with this. You ever seen that movie Friday Night Lights with Booby Ball? Like, put Booby in. I'm going to let him spin, you know. So, basically, I blew out my knee in the very – first game of the season, so that just my whole second year was done, you know. And then worked my way back, got back into the swing of things in my third year there. Still got a football scholarship, but it wasn't to a Division I school where I won it. It was to a Division II school, which is, you know, Division II schools are very, very competitive, like very, very competitive. And so went to Pittsburgh State, which is actually in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Shout out Pittsburgh State Gorillas. We all over, you know what I'm saying? But to make a long story short, I did not go to the NFL, but I did get my degree in criminal justice. Now, I got my degree in criminal justice, well, before I even explain away that waste of money of a degree that I have. I went to college to play football. I didn't really go to college to start a career. You know, but they always say, man, make sure you got a backup plan just in case. And the injury, it made me think about that a little bit more to, you know, be prepared. So I was like, well, if I don't go pro, what would be the next best thing? And so at the time, Law & Order, SVU, what's another show? First 48, all those cop shows, I used to watch them, like, all the time. Because, you know, they had the Law & Order marathons on. USA.
You're a very technical person, so that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, man. So I was like, man, you know what? I think I could do that. You know what I'm saying? I get to walk around with a gun, have a badge or a uniform. And so that's why I chose that major. After I graduated, I was like, ain't no way I want to be a cop. I actually went through the process, and about halfway through the process, I was like, man, I think I'm cool off of that. I don't really want to be a cop because of the work-life balance. You know?
Yeah.
Because by this point, man, I had a bunch of, like, little jobs. Like, you know, growing up, you have jobs. I worked at McDonald's. I worked at Sonic. What kind of jobs did you have growing up? You said you delivered pizza.
Kind of jobs. I worked at a bagel shop. I worked at a movie theater. I worked at a high school as a custodian. I worked as a videographer for my own business. I worked at a pizza shop. Bunch of retail.
Yeah.
Random
Got
jobs.
It. I remember working my very first job at McDonald's. I was 15 years old, and I was in charge of the fries. I made $5.15 an hour. We got paid every 2 weeks. My very first check, well, actually, I worked about 40 hours a week for 2 weeks. Okay? You see where I'm going with this? If you just do the math on that.
It's not good. It's not looking good. You were making the fries, but they were giving
$5
you
$5 an hour, 40 weeks. 40 hours a week, at $5 an hour. How much money is that? Like, what, $200?
And now,
you got a calculator?
In just one of your savings plans, you're saving like 300 times that every month.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. And the point that I was trying to make was I found out from a very young age that I needed to not have a job, especially maybe – I ain't trying to knock anybody working fast food who's listening to this right now. But I can guarantee you if you're listening to it and you're working in fast food, you probably don't want to be there forever.
They probably feel the same way, man.
You know what I'm saying? So I figured out, like, look, $5.15 an hour ain't going to work. That was – I only made $400 minus taxes after 2 weeks of hard labor. And actually, it was really 3 weeks. Because you know how if you get paid every 2 weeks, you got to work that 1 week. That's kind of like in the hole. It depends on when you catch the pay cycle.
Yeah. Sometimes
you know
there's an off
I call it a pay cycle. It's an off week, man. So I started on an off week. So I had to go 3 weeks, and then I got paid that $300 check, and I was like, "How am I buy some rims with $300?" Because at the time I wanted some rims for my car.
Not doing much, man.
Yeah, I was like, "Yeah, this ain't gonna work," because you know rims was like $2,000. I was like, I'm going to have to work all year to be able to buy some rims.
That's rough, man.
So for those of you listening, do not buy rims for your car unless you put them through your insurance policy first. Or buy with a credit card so you at least get something in return for it.
I wouldn't buy
rims. Never use a cash to buy anything. You know, I still like rims. Do I have rims on my car right now? No. But eventually, I'm going to get some nice rims on my car, you know.
The things you'll buy.
But anyway, I know, right? Back to my story. Where was I? McDonald's. And I figured out I didn't want a job. And I figured out, actually, it's not that I didn't want a job. I just didn't want to work a job to where I felt limited. But unfortunately, in school, they don't teach you how to create your own job. They teach you how to work. They teach you skills. They teach you how to memorize.
I hate when people say that. It's not true. They didn't. I tell my kids that. We did business classes all the time. And when I was teaching fifth grade, which is what I did most of my years as. But I agree, man. I literally have a master's degree in curriculum instruction. And so I'm well aware of the Common Core systems, at least in California. And it's like nowhere in there is it involved how to be a sustainable, independent individual.
It's not. Is literally memorize this book, go get a job, and do your job for 40 years. And so after college, keep in mind, I'm 22 at the time, and I kind of blow through my 20s. And, you know, what do most people do in their 20s, man?
Party. Blow through money.
Party, you know. You know, some people are smarter. They are more responsible in their 20s. Unfortunately, I wasn't one of those people. I mean, I was responsible enough, but I didn't really – have any goals. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really have any goals. It was kind of just like I had
party goals.
Check
to
check.
Goals related to parties.
You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to go hang out on Friday. I just got paid and I want to have a good time. You know what I'm saying? I knew nothing about money, credit, you know, budgeting, none of that stuff.
I agree.
On Instagram. I had a little one to laugh at it. But we're on Blog Talk Radio, sponsored by NSF Fatherhood, and
So let me say this, and I'm actually gonna. This is the first commercial I'm actually gonna run. I'm gonna just run this promo for King Cam.
All right.
And let me see what.
Chapter systems are offline. Number one for today's hits, and all-time favorites.
Ooh. This is what it's like being on the radio.
Can you hear that on your end?
Yeah, that's the Wayans brothers. I wonder, can they hear that on the live? Can they hear it? Are you saying that loud? I got my AirPods in, so I can't hear it.
Even the other stations are tuned in too.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio.
So now that we're here, man, now it's the top of 2021. You're no longer working at McDonald's. I'm I'm no longer delivering pizzas and newspapers in the butt crack of the morning in Potrero Hill in the middle of San Francisco. Yeah. Now we're in completely different places, you know? So what is your week look like nowadays? What is like, what's like kind of your, how do you stay on top of being an entrepreneur, being a dad, expecting more kids? How is it working for you now?
Well, right now, let's put it this way. It's, I learn something new every day. All right. So to kind of jump back to my story, just because it's kind of going to tie in a little bit. I was 30 years old. I woke up 30 years old. I was working at my job, and I was, like, embarrassed. I was like, what am I doing with my life? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like one of them things, man, where it's like you just say, how did I get here? You know, and so I thought about going back to school. I thought about doing a lot of different things, like changing careers. But then I got an opportunity, right? Because California, that's the land of opportunity, or America is the land of opportunity, right? And I basically transitioned into being a life insurance agent, you know. And so that was the grind. But I'm so grateful for that point in time because, by the way, I don't sell life insurance anymore. But as a life insurance agent, bro, I literally was built. I literally was knocking on people's doors. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the money was so good. Well, not necessarily so good because I didn't really know what I was doing back then. But the income was the potential. I saw the potential, right? So if you're looking at a risk reward, all I got to do is put in a little bit of time, and then I could possibly make an unlimited amount of money. I was like, well, what's the worst that could happen? You know? And so basically from that point on, so I still am I'm a finance professional, but I'm not a life insurance agent. I'm not gonna break the differences down today. But just know that over that 4-year period, I learned a lot of skills that aren't necessarily taught in school. Like one being a business owner, learn how to communicate, ideas, leadership. I learned my craft. Or other things in my craft that not a lot of people really know about. And so just to kind of just really take our time, and for those listening, because I know I'm extremely about motivation, all of us got to really continue to grow ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Personal development, growth, that's just like a lifelong process. I'll ask you a question, Ryan. My days today, I wake up about between five and six, after 5 and 6, I have some coffee. You know, I'll do some light reading, and then I'll either go for a walk or I'll jog. You know, after I go for a walk or jog, I come in, I shower, and I start looking at email. You know, and then I'll have a bunch of appointments lined up, and so I'll just literally come into my office, I'll turn on my laptop, and then I'll just. People want to talk to me to learn about finances, because I've gone through a process to where I'm solid financially, and there was a time where I wasn't solid financially. And so now all I'm doing is taking all the tools and things that I learned, and I'm just sharing it with people who want to do the same thing, because at the end of the day, I feel like most people want the same thing, security. Everybody wants security. Everybody wants to feel comfortable, safe, and secure. And so if I can provide that, then that makes me priceless. Anybody who can provide that is priceless. It makes them priceless. You know what I'm saying? And so how about you, man? How's your day start? I feel like I'm doing all the talking.
No, man. I think we're really similar on a lot of those. And I also in that just I put that up. I love that, man. And I think that's really important, is that we stop selling life insurance. And to be honest, I do telesales in the morning, because there are people at the end of their life that just need it. And they need
they need
a different kind of product than the ones that we offer as cash value life insurance. But it's a completely different mind frame that I'm in now compared to, when I was working 2 or 3 jobs, going on at the end of the night, looking on Indeed, looking just for something better. Right. And thinking that,
oh man,
my next step, my better life that I had was going to exist when I got $2 or $3 more an hour at that next job. or a salary position where, oh my God, maybe they'll just pay for my medical and my retirement and a $3,000 to $5,000 a month salary, and I'll just park it there for 10 to 12 years while my life goes by. And I think that's kind of that, in that is some security. But something that comes along with security, and this has to do with, like, on a psychological level, like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If you have your basic, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I just hate cutting you off, but I like the way you said security. It's a false sense of security.
With that job.
It's a false sense of
COVID, right? As we've seen with COVID, right? But what I wanted to go with that is it, when you have security, first and foremost, then you start to develop options, opportunities, and choices, right? If you look at the progression of man, anthropologically speaking, in the history of time, what was the first thing that we had to master was our basic needs, right? And once we mastered agriculture and farming food, we didn't have to hunt anymore. That's when cities and civilizations started to cultivate. And the same exists in the individual.
Yeah.
Once you have your basic needs met, then you can start to develop extras, hobbies, traveling, luxury, commodities, you know, other kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people get that base job and they believe, as you pointed out, incorrectly, that that is the security. I'm secure in this job. When in actuality, you're not secure with just one source of income. You're a table on one leg, and that can very easily fall, right? As we kind of seen this year.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, man. Can I add, man, anybody who is seeking security, if it's me and I want to seek a secure job and I want job security, I would honestly have a career in sales, as a sales person, selling or marketing something. Why?
And let me pause. Let me pause right there.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
Because actually, Trav asked a question, and I didn't want to skip over it, but it fits in right here with what you just said. Let me just pause you right there, because what you just said is, if you want to branch out and take a chance on yourself, you talk about job security. If there's anything I'm going to bet on in this life, I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to bet on me before my job at Google, before Facebook. They're going to do great, but I'm going to bet on myself. I believe I'm going to work harder for my family than Google is, or the job that I'm working at. And you were talking earlier about some of the traits that you learned of self-development. And Trav at that time, I'm trying to find the exact track, but he said, do you think you've learned that most people learn those kinds of qualities on the job anyways? And I think he was referring to, like, selling life insurance or being a life insurance agent. And if you want to learn sales, if you want to learn sales and make money quick, I strongly recommend to not get into life insurance. Do not get into life insurance, because it will take a long time to actually make some decent money. Selling life insurance is one of the hardest things to do ever, because A, nobody wants to talk about dying, and B, most people think it's a complete waste of money. Right?
Yeah.
And so the fact that you and me have built followings, we were just saying this, the fact that you and I have built followings on Instagram around freaking selling life insurance is saying something. That's an uphill battle. But I would strongly recommend, I mean, there's tons of things you can do in sales that will be profitable very quickly if you learn some basic people skills and some basic sales tech. Now, what Trav said, do you learn those things on the job? You learn all the sales tricks and tips selling life insurance. You become a very good salesman. And I would always say that I was never a salesman before, but
me too.
Now I know exactly what the formula is to sell something. I just don't use it. You know what I mean? I don't use it in my appointments. Now, and anybody that's on here, I have two clients that are on this call right now. They know I'm much more consultative. I'm much more like, well, what do you want to do? Okay, great. Well, you could do this or this. I'm not really like, buy this. Sell this pen. I don't do that kind of thing. It's more
sell the pen. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And so, and that's what you learn how to do. And so, kind of learning skills on the job. Like, I feel like a regular job, you can develop yourself. You can develop sales skills with any job. But it all comes down to the decision. Do I want – the decision is the most important part of, like, I want to be good at something, or I want to get a promotion, or I want to get a raise. First, you got to get a decision or make the decision to make that happen. Now, after that decision is made, now you got to go to work. You got to put in the work to make yourself better.
It's going to be in anything you do.
And that's really it, bro. And so I was like, man, I'm so grateful for life insurance because I chose to sell the hardest thing on the planet to sell. And now I know how I'm great at it because I don't sell it anymore.
And let me ask you this. Out of all the time you spend on personal entertainment, let's say you've been in the life insurance industry for how many years? 5, 6, 7?
Going into my fifth.
On a percentage basis, during your entertainment hours, whatever that may be, like the time that you have for yourself, you're not working. What percentage of those hours did you dedicate towards studying the business or studying sales tactics or studying mindfulness with relation to sales?
Like literally all day.
Same.
Almost every minute. Because this is the cool thing, because you go through rejection. And nobody likes being rejected. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, man, I'm about to learn everything I know, or everything there is to know, so I can decrease my chance of rejection. You know what I'm saying? But the funny thing is about rejection and failure, you got to go through the rejection to get good. You got to. There's no way around it. There's no like strategizing it or trying to analyze what do I say if they see this or that or whatever. Nah, it's like this. It's trying to imagine going to the gym and trying to lose weight or build muscle by just looking at the weight. Or just looking at the treadmill. You were all day. You wouldn't lose a weight. You wouldn't lose a pound or gain a pound.
You got to get in the game.
Action.
You got to get in the game.
You got to get in the game. You got to get in the game. And so, like, those skills, man, those skills are priceless to where now I've gotten so many other opportunities, such as this one with NSF Radio, NSF Fatherhood Radio, which we're broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. Working on a TV show. We have a bunch of stuff just going on, and it all started 4 years ago or whatever, 4.5 years ago from me making the decision of I got to make more money. Let me try something different. And now we're here.
Just yesterday, actually, I made a post about this, and it's a John Cleese quotation from a movie, and I'll remember the movie in a sec, but John Cleese, he said, it's only on the precipice of extinction that humans really do change or evolve. And I think there's two different kinds of people. I think there's people that – I think there's people – we're all in a boat, and we're heading towards a freaking waterfall, right?
Yeah.
Like Niagara Falls, deathly waterfall. And there's some people in the boat – that are like, hey, guys, I think there's a waterfall coming. Let's jump on it and do something about it. And then there's also people that are like, I don't really believe you. Why would there be – what are you talking about, waterfalls? That's not even a thing. And then I think there's some people that sit in the middle and just debate it the whole time. In real life, it's hard to know what is a waterfall and what is actually just minutia, especially in today's postmodern world with so much online. But I think it comes down to what you're saying. It's better to make imperfect action and fail forward than be the other two people in the boat.
It is. You're absolutely right, man. You're absolutely right. I can't even add nothing to that. That was well said. I'm going to borrow that. I'm going to use it. Just letting you know.
That's all right. I was a teacher, man. Teachers are shameless thieves. We steal everything. You hear something cool, and then it's in your classroom practice for the rest of your life.
That's right, man. So, and exactly, that's what we got to do with our money. If somebody tells us, actually, our money is sacred, don't do what everybody tells you to do with your money. You know what I'm saying?
But I definitely consider every idea that I hear. Like, when I hear something cool, and it makes some sense to me, like, it's like, okay, that's a good idea. Or using Google – and then I put that idea into Google Trends, and I see if that's, like, kind of a well-known thing. Or I put it through my normal filters and see, like, okay, is this legit? Does this person know about it? we do our due diligence. And I think the consumer nowadays is in any niche is more educated than any other consumer in any other decade. So that's why I applaud the fact that we circle what we do around education.
Which makes it fun that way too. It makes it fun, man. The most rewarding part of my day is after I just met somebody for the first time and scheduled a time to meet with me. And at the end of the appointment, they're like, wow, like, I can't believe, like, that's possible. Every single time is wow. I'm actually working on some content right now to where you're going to see people's reactions, like, after we get done with our consultation. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is literally mind-blowing. And it's such a change because I can tell, like, there's so much work left that's left to be done. There's so much more work left to be done that, you know, we can't really do it all ourselves. This is the best we can do. Talk about it. Talk about it on Instagram Live. Talk about it on Blog Talk Radio. Talk about it on TikTok. Talk about it on Facebook. Just talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it over and over and over and over.
That's right.
Until we blew in the face.
This is our mission. This is our crusade. I would agree that I won't speak. I'll speak for you on this. We're both evangelical about the powers of leveraging your cash through properly structured cash value life insurance. And there's plenty of people on the radio waves and airwaves talking about securities, stocks, pay off your debt. But there's very, very few actually touting the powers of life insurance. And yet, meanwhile, the biggest institutions, the wealthiest people, the richest people in the country are leveraging it to the tune of billions of dollars. So, you know, if the rich and wealthy are doing it to that tune, you know, to billions and billions of dollars, why can't the average you and I get that same leverage, that same strategy?
Exactly.
But on our budget and on our terms. And so I love the fact that we're breaking through with this. This is our thing and we're sticking through it. If you believe what we believe, if you believe in tax-exempt wealth, if you believe in a strong foundation, if you believe in double-dipping and leveraging your cash more than once, if you believe in not just dumping all your money into the stocks and then hoping and praying for a return, if you believe in actually setting up consistent distribution models rather than a safe withdrawal risk, risk instead of rate.
Right.
If you believe in creating a cohesive plan that comes guaranteed rather than hopes and prayers based on the political institutions or the economic trends, that's what we're here to do.
Yeah.
And it's been an absolute pleasure to do it so far. And we'll be right back here Tuesdays and Thursdays every day. It's going to be now at 6 o'clock on NSF Blog Radio, on Blog Talk Radio, sponsored
Blog
by NSF Blog. And here on Instagram Live, Brandon is All Heroes Don't Wear Capes. And I am Brian Stone, Prosperity Professor.
Are we done now?
We got about five minutes left on the stream. Five, 6 minutes. Okay. So I want to leave it if there's any questions. Either about
some questions.
The path to entrepreneurship, any questions on multiple income streams, any questions on cash value life insurance, feel free to call in at Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5805. Or you can type in the chat. We have a few followers here on Instagram and on Facebook. I just want to open any questions, man.
Yeah, and I want to thank you, man. I saw a comment from @tbridge_strongflow. I wish I knew who that was. I'm going to go check it out. But he said he had a meeting with me, and what I just said was 100% true. I want to thank you for, you know, posting that, you know, just in the chat, man. So appreciate you. Hopefully I gave you some value, and we'll talk soon. You know, so definitely, man. And so, do we have any questions? Is there anything that you would like to know that we didn't cover? We kind of really talked mostly about ourselves, but we kind of just felt that it was probably time for us to do something like this.
It's the first
share more about our personal
story
and our background.
Our first show on the radio. Mm-hmm. I think it's just polite just to introduce ourselves to this new platform and introduce ourselves to 2021. Because it's a whole new year this year, man. And you asked me about my schedule, man. Like, every single day to the minute is marked down still, and I'm still working. But guess what? Some of those hours are blocked off leisure. Some of those hours are just blocked off for creative time. And I have those chances now because the other minutes are all check on this income stream, check on this income stream, then this one, then this.
That's what's up, man. I'm excited, man. We got a lot of big plans going on in 2021. I'm sure if you were listening to this right now, you got some big plans on 2021 for 2021, or you probably wouldn't even be listening to this. So you're in good company. You're in a good environment. And we just going to keep coming with value.
Hey, Trav said,
you hear it.
Trav said, opening up with your story is a great way to start. If there's any people in here that are in sales, I strongly recommend, I just read this book. It's called Stories That Stick by Kendra Hall. And she actually wrote her PhD thesis around storytelling before storytelling was like cool. She had to actually like defend her thesis that was like an important aspect. Mm. Trav, I bet you've already read this book, man. Have you read this?
Yeah.
Have you read it, B?
Trav got a library, yeah. I haven't read it, but I'm going to go read it, man.
It's
that's something I want to talk about real quick.
So if you're in sales and you're still wondering like, well, how do I make that? I'm really not connecting. Go back to stories. And tell yours, because everybody has one, and all you need to do is find people that believe what you believe and relate with your story. And the truth of the thing is, like, people don't buy what you're doing, they buy why you do it.
Yeah.
Right? And we're here to help people, and you know, if regardless of what it's called or what it does, I'm telling you that if you do this X, Y, and Z, you're gonna have A, B, and C, and that's guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you want to make more money, get a job in sales. If you want to have more money, learn what to do with it. And the funny thing about sales and money, that if you learn how to do one, you kind of learn. It's almost like you automatically learn both.
It really is.
You know what I'm saying? That's kind of how it was for me. You know, I start off with a goal of wanting to make more money, and then now I make way more money than I used to, and now I know what to do with it.
And it was stuff, and now it's just more fun stuff, dude. So I'm actually, I don't want to give too much of a preview away because I'm actually filming some content. Yeah. I want to give people some ideas on how to jumpstart incomes from home, just like I have over the past, 6 or 7 years. And so I actually just started documenting a series around, and I know there's millions of videos out there on this, but just one more to show you that while doing everything else, I want to show you how to use money and invest it in a way that just starts new businesses for you. Tons of different ways to do that. In the whole investment spectrum, which is what we're going to cover here on Money Talk, we're going to talk about A, how to make more money, B, how to spend less on wasteful things, right? Get rid of debt elimination, how to increase your credit, and then ultimately, how to save for the future and what to do with your money so that it has a specific job for you, freeing up your time, regaining control of your prosperity, control of what you want to do. And it all comes down with that trade-off between how you get your money and what you do with your time.
Yep, exactly, man. I always say this, man. If somebody was to give you $1 million right now, what would you do with it? If you don't know, then that's a red flag for you.
That's right.
Why would somebody give it to you? You feel me?
If you don't know what you would do with $1 million, if you don't have a plan for $1 million, how do you know what you're doing with what you're doing right now is any good at all? What's the difference?
Exactly. What's the difference? Exactly. What's the difference? If you don't got a plan for $1 million, then, or if you don't have a plan for $1, how are you going to have a plan for $1 million? It all starts there. And with that being said, man, I thank you guys for tuning in, listening to us live on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for those of you on Instagram who are actually watching us live. We going to have a lot of stuff coming this year. And we want you to join us, and we just want to provide value, so feel free to reach out to us anytime.
Cool, man. Thanks, everybody.
All right, thanks, everybody. Y'all have a good one. Go get yourself some dinner. Later.